Hi, this is Shelley Clark from The Honeycone, and I'm the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Hey, buckle up. It's time for another ride into the world of entertainment right here on Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak. This is episode 664 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, we have a music guest here at On Screen and Beyond, and we're going to go back to the 70s, when Honeycone was coming out with the hits, the number one hits, One Ad, Stick Up, but they also had other songs that made the top 40, like One Monkey Don't Stop No Show, and just so many others, and it's Shelley Clark. She's going to be joining us, and she's out touring now, and also, you know, just bringing that great music back. So I hope you're going to stick around for that. Shelley's going to tell us a whole lot of things because she's done a lot of other stuff that you don't probably know about. And she's going to be letting us in on that. So get ready for that. Shelley Clark in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. Hope you had a great week, 2 weeks really, because I took last week off for the Thanksgiving weekend. Relaxed and had a good time. Hope you had a great time too. And if you want to get in touch with me at On Screen and Beyond, you can get in touch with me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. And one of the biggest things is I want to make sure if you're new to the show, go ahead and follow us or like us or subscribe to us, whatever, you know, depending on where you're getting the podcast, whatever podcast provider you're going to. If you go to them, you can subscribe or follow, whichever way they call it. And that way, it doesn't cost anything. What they do is they, as soon as we release the episode, boom, goes right to you if you're a subscriber or a follower or whatever, like I say. And that way, you don't have to be searching, you know, well, is a new episode out? Did he say he was going to take this week off? All that sort of stuff doesn't matter because you're going to get it directly as soon as we release it. So that's the best way to do it. Be sure to tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond. Get the word out to get more people listening. Tell a friend to go back and look at our 663 others, 664 today. But look back at all the different people we've had on. And it's an amazing group of people. And they are just so interesting to listen to them talk about their careers, their lives, their books, their movies, their songs, their TV shows, whatever. Check it out at onscreenandbeyond.com. And we have more and more coming. We have another musical guest coming next week. And I think it's on the list next week. Yeah, I think so. Yes, it is. I had to think about it there. And so we have that coming up. Then we have a group of actors from a new film that's coming out, coming our way. Then we'll take a little time off around the Christmas season and also around, you know, New Year's. And then we'll get back to you in the first of the year with all new episodes of On Screen and Beyond. So I hope you're going to keep listening. Tell a friend, like I said. And if you on, you know, wherever you're getting your podcast, leave a 5-star review for us. That would really help us out. And we'll keep these things coming at you. And just so much fun. And I hope you're enjoying them. Well, we have some very interesting things coming our way. Now that the strike is over, it seems that, you know, things are just rolling out and everybody's coming up with new shows and new movies and all sorts of stuff coming our way. So we're going to give you all that information, and it's coming up right here on Screen and Beyond because it's time for remakes, sequels, and prequels on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake, sequels, and prequels. Looks like Tom Holland says another Spider-Man sequel has been discussed, but has not surfaced because a compelling story idea has not yet emerged. So they're trying to come up with something that's going to be, you know, worth coming out. And Eli Roth's Thanksgiving is getting a sequel, and it will be coming our way in 2025. So they're going to be, you know, putting the pedal right to the metal on that one. Beetlejuice 2 is wrapping up filming, and Tim Burton says it could come our way on September 6th, 2024. And Sonic the Hedgehog 3 will be hitting theaters on December 20th, 2024. And it looks like the Blumhouse, they're saying that Ethan Hawke will return for the Black Phone 2 on June 27th, 2025. And that's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Onscreen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, Christmas Day, you can look for Joel Edgerton and Colm Turner to star in a George Clooney-directed film called The Boys in the Boat. And here's one, Minnie Driver, Felicia Rashad, Jeremy Irons, and Jason Statham will star in The Beekeeper, and it's in theaters on January 12th. And The Price of Freedom begins shooting on January 24th, and it's going to be directed by Mario Van Peebles, who has been a guest here at On Screen and Beyond. He's done some great films that not only that he's been in, but also he's directed some. That's also going to be starring Aisha Jackson, Harry Lennox, Keith David, who's been a guest here at On Screen and Beyond, and Kevin Sorbo, who's also been a guest here at On Screen and Beyond. And it tells the true civil rights story of Harry and Harrietta Moore. So be sure to be looking out for that one. That's the filming is just going to be starting, so it'll probably be another year or so before it comes out. And that's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, movies and TV on DVD and streaming.
Hey, this is Mark Cuban, and if you love television like I love television, you have to listen to On Screen and Beyond.
Movies and TV on DVD and streaming, while the animated film Craig Before the Creek comes to digital on December 11th and on DVD on March 26th. Taylor Swift, the Era Tour extended version, will be available for rent on December 13th. January 16th, Roger Corman's The Devil's Partner, newly restored to 4K special edition. And it also includes The Creature from the Haunted Sea. And Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 2 soars on to 4K Blu-ray and DVD on December 5th. And also on December 5th, you can catch The Winchesters, the complete first season, as it hits DVD. That's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and entertainment time. TV and entertainment time. ABC will air in January the Hulu original Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. Peacock will premiere Ted, the limited series from Seth MacFarlane, and it's based on the film, and it comes our way on January 11th. And FX's new Shogun, the samurai epic, will premiere on February 27th on Hulu, and CBS's Ghost, which is a big hit for them, and it's going to be bringing Season 3 to us on February 15th. And that's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we're sitting down with Shelley Clark of Honeycomb. Now, back in the 70s, she had the hits Want Ads and Stick Up. And then they had other hits like One Monkey Don't Stop, No Show, and things like that. A lot of great stuff, but Shelley's been around more than just with Honeycomb. She's done a lot of other stuff. We're going to find out all about that. Shelley Clark next, right here on Screen and Beyond. Our guest today on Screen and Beyond is a founding member of the R&B soul girl group Honeycomb. She is a member of the Soul Music Hall of Fame, and she has given us the number one hits Want Ads and Stick Up. She has been touring, singing all the great hits. It's Shelley Clark. Shelley, welcome to On Screen and Beyond.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Well, Shelley, it's such a pleasure to have you on, because back in the day, loved your music, you know, and it's great that you're still out there, you know, going at it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's more fun now, I have to say, than it was then, I think.
You know, it's funny because I've had a lot of different artists on over the years, and a lot of them say that. They say playing now is, for whatever reason, is just so much more relaxing and enjoyable. It's why do you feel that way?
I don't know. Absolutely. It's almost like you've been given a second chance. And now you are well steeped in the industry and you sort of know yourself better. You know the music and you know your fans. And it becomes more fun because, you know, as you get older, in a way, it's a little more playful, I think, now. So you know that you don't have to really prove anything or if you make a mistake, you just say, hey, you guys know that was a mistake, right? and you move on. And the public is so forgiving. They just want to see you and hear you. And, you know, I think that's the best explanation. Other than that, I don't know. But it feels good.
Yeah. Now, why have you been touring all along over the years, or did you take a pause, or how did that work?
Yes. Well, starting way back when we signed in 1968, it was Edna Wright, Carolyn Willis, and myself signed to the iconic songwriting team, Holland Dozier Holland. Mm-hmm. And they had that dispute with Barry. He paid them to go away, and they started their own record label. So we did 3 years on their label, which was Hot Wax Records. And the time came when, I guess, you know, everything has a run, and had its run, and then one of the girls quit because she was just unhappy with touring, and not having control, because back then in the 70s, you just did what they told you to do. She was the first one to leave. So the energy left in the group and from the record label. So after that, the lead singer, Edna Wright, tried to reform the group, and it didn't really come back together. She did a little bit of touring. I wasn't with her at that point. She used her daughter. And then fast forward, she passed away in the COVID year. I believe it was 2020 or maybe 2022. I can't really remember, but it was September 12th. Yeah. And after that, I, you know, re-upped the group. And I actually re-upped my own Honeycone and bought the trademark in 2014. So I've been doing my own version for, you know, since then. And yes, we have been, you know, touring here and there. We were lucky enough to get on the Soul Train cruise with all the, you know, R&B greats. And, you know, we've been to Atlantic City and the Poconos and Vibrato's Elegant Supper Club here in L.A. And we're just trying to keep it out there. And when we have new dates, it'll be posted on our website, which is honeycone.biz.
Great.
And now, for 2024. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're out there doing those songs, I can only imagine that there's all you can see is smiles, because, you know, it's bringing back so many memories to people. Is that correct?
Well, not only smiles. I mean, we had one concert where the people sang so loud, singing our songs back to us and with us, that if we had dropped out singing, you never would have known, because they were so engaged, you know, with us and the lyrics. And, you know, as you know, we were the first girls trio that ushered in a new mindset for women. Yes. And we had stopped begging men to come home, and our writers were young men, and they took a leap of faith and said, you know, if we were women and a guy was messing up and not cooperating, what would we want to say? And the lyrics were just perfect. You know, can you imagine? One monkey don't stop, no show. Who talks like that?
Right.
well, they did. And all of it worked. And then the other girls' trios started saying, you know what? you know, we can bump our lyrics up too and start, you remember, Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And Armed and Dangerous with the, you know, the other group, First Choice was their name. Mm-hmm. And so it caught on. But I'm happy to say that we kicked off that brand new era.
Yeah. So. Well, it's so good to see, you know, now I'm putting on my age hat here because, you know, I remember.
Whatever you are, you're not older than me. Let's put it that way.
but the thing is, you know, right now you've got Paul McCartney out, you know, he goes out and tours and the Beatles mm-hmm. are on the charts. The Rolling Stones mm-hmm. are on the charts. You mm-hmm. knocked off the Rolling Stones from the number one spot with Wanted, and they had Brown Sugar, and you knocked them off, and they're on, they're back again touring. I mean, it's just so great to see all these groups from the 60s and 70s coming back and doing things. And to be honest, you know, I mean, like I say, this is my grumpy old hat, you know, thing, but the music then was so much better than the, you know, the music now. Now it sounds all the same.
And
it's,
agreed.
You know, they get a hit. Somebody says, "Oh, well, I got to sound like that because I got to get a hit." But back then, everything was so different, and it's so nice to see everybody back. You know.
Well, I've got to do a shameless plug, and I've got to add two more legendary acts into the four that you mentioned. My husband. And Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yes.
They have a new lease on, you know what I mean, but it's been going on forever. Mm-hmm. And of course, many people know that they toured with Lionel Richie beginning of the year. And they're going out with Chicago next year.
Wow.
And so here's another legendary band that never, you know, they didn't slow down either.
Right.
So because I can... you know, interact with my own husband who's done it for years. Although I have to say, Honeycomb had gold records before Earth, Wind, and Fire.
You were first.
And he'll tell people that too. He's not ashamed. You know, he goes, "Oh no. She had hit records. They were famous before us." And so. You're right. And I think Earth, Wind, and Fire, the principals are 72, Lionel Richie's 74. They're all out there, as you say, they're all doing it. And trust me, it is more fun for them too.
Yeah. It's just great to hear all that great music that everybody has and what you have, you know, and I'm glad that you're out there.
Thank you. Thank you. And it feels great to be out there, and, you know, we'll see what 2024 holds for us. We have some things on the wire that, you know, we'll get into when it happens.
Yeah. Well, and another thing is back in the 60s, or yeah, I think it was the 60s, you were on the Andy Williams Show, correct?
That's correct.
And you were also, is it true that you were you were hired to be a regular on the TV show, The Jim Nabors Hour?
Yes. Now, you know, on the 1968 Andy Williams special is where we met for the first time, the Honeycomb. And one of the members I knew, Carolyn Willis, but I didn't know Edna Wright. And so that's how we started. We got started because Edward Holland saw us on the Andy Williams special, and we were very good. That they still play that periodically on PBS. So period, and sometimes it just comes on TV randomly, and my husband will scream, Hey, babe, you're on TV again. but it was just so good because it was featuring the late Burt Bacharach and Dionne Warwick. But as you say, I was a little bit, you know, annoyed that Honeycomb wasn't getting, none of our records were jumping off. So I, against the company's rules, I took a job back here in LA because we were just waiting and waiting and waiting. And I had lost hope that we were going to have a hit record. At the time, they didn't sound like they would be number one hits to me, but you know, I took a job, and wouldn't you know it, you know, on the Jim Nabors as a regular, you know, and all of a sudden I get a call from Edward Holland, "Get off that damn show. The record just went to number one." And I said, "But I can't. I love this show." "Sorry, it's time to go touring." Wow. So I gave notice to the producers, and they said, "Nope, we're not letting you go. you know, you are signed for two seasons and you're going to do two seasons. And I said, what's it going to take to get me off the show where you guys aren't going to try to sue me? And he said, we're going to replace you. You're going to replace yourself with someone that we love and adore as much as we do you. And if it's not right, we're going to veto every, you know, choice of yours until it gets right. So they vetoed three girls. And then I auditioned one of the Ray Letts that was touring with Ray Charles, and they accepted her. And then I could leave the show and fly to Detroit, but not a minute sooner.
Wow.
it was crazy.
So how many shows were you on the Jim Nabors Hour?
Believe it or not, one is still online. I thought to myself, I'd never find this, but I almost did maybe 3 months, you know, cause our records just weren't, you know, hitting that mm-hmm. fast.
Yeah.
And, I was considering getting out of Honeycomb altogether because, we were sort of like the Supremes, you know, that story, right? They were the last ones to get a hit at Motown, and they became sort of like the butt of the joke, you know, they call them the no hit Supremes. So we were the no hit Honeycomb. But, you know, when it's your time, God makes it your time.
Mm-hmm.
And not a minute sooner. And so, yeah, I was almost not a Honeycomb because I loved that TV show. And Jim Nabors, you know, he sings, right?
Oh, yes.
Wonderful singer. Yeah. Wonderful singer.
Yeah.
Gomer Pyle.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time, he was performing. I was in Hawaii, and he was performing at the Hilton Hawaiian Village. And there used to be this round building that they used to have on the property. And I went see his show there, and it's just an incredible show. I mean, it's
well. Let me just tell you some fast facts that people need to know about Jim Nabors and Dusty Springfield. Both openly gay before it was popular, and they had to, you know, they were just relentless with, I'm going to be me, I don't care. I toured with Dusty and her partner, which was unheard of back in the day.
Right.
But then you see these people that understood, look, this is who I am. You know, you're going to like my music or not. Whatever, this is it, and Jim Nabors was another one. He and was such a beautiful man, and just kind to everybody on the set. And I can't say enough, you know, about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was so talented. Mm-hmm. You know, going from, you know, the lovable but goofy Gomer Pyle, and then you see him singing,
to a serious singer, right?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and his voice changed, and it was like, wow. You know, I
right
mean,
and you say it doesn't look like it should come out of
yes,
him, right?
Yes.
You look at that, you know. Yeah. You know, old Silent Night and some of those chestnuts roasting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, he was incredible.
Yeah.
But I also had a, you know, great time as an Iquette with Tina Turner, and you know, she just had a birthday a few days ago. Mm-hmm. So I blow her up on all my social medias because she was the one that actually, that was pre Honeycomb, you know, that was, I want to say 1966.
Oh.
And I toured with the Ike and Tina Turner Review. And she will get you ready for this industry because she's just such a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. So in order to get the job, you had to sing and dance and energy all the way, you know, for two, you've seen her shows.
Yes, yes.
Energy for two hours at a time, but no one did it like her.
Yeah.
And I know we have Beyonce now who sings and dances, but still she stands on the shoulders. Oh. But she'll tell you that of Tina Turner.
Yeah.
You know, she'll say that.
That must have been, I mean, of course Tina was out front and singing, but as a background singer for her, you guys were just as energetic as was. You must have lost 40 pounds every show.
Yeah, I mean, no. The iCats, we were something else, and we made up our own choreography, too. And she was very heavy into astrology, and the first day I met her, she said, what sign are you? And I said, I'm a Leo. She said, great, I'm Sagittarius. I'm going to stand you next to me on stage, and we're going to fire it up. And so, you know, I'm a dancer first and singer second. So, being next to her on stage was just everything. But of course, there you have Ike, who's ready to fine you $5 for every infraction. You know, you miss a step, you miss a note. I think this is his way of getting the money back. If you have a run in your stocking, if your hair flies around, $5 fine, and they would add up. But I think he got that from James Brown. He was the first one to start fining his band members. Yep.
That's horrible.
Stand on the shoulders, right?
Yeah, that's horrible. Gee, you know, I mean, you know, we're all human.
Hey, look, welcome to the 60s and 70s. There was no room for error. And also, I think it was a way that I'm going to pay you and take some of the money back. You know, what do I know?
Jeez. Huh.
I know.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's why it's more fun now, you know.
Yeah, I can see that, you know, I'm sure you're more relaxed, you know, because.
Oh, yeah. Just, and you have control. You know, you have control over your show. You have control over your wardrobe, over your choreography. And, you know, just back in the day, you had to do what they told you to do because they were footing all the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, once you remove that factor, you know. It's just so much better now. You know, we wear what we want to wear. I remember we were the first artists on Soul Train Cruise. And that was 1971, I want to say, in Chicago. We were the very first artists with Gladys Knight and Eddie Kendricks and Bobby Hutton. That was the four of us. And we kicked off that show. But Don came to me and said, look, little girl, you know, your dress is quite provocative. I don't know that you can wear that on daytime TV. And it wasn't that bad, but it was like sort of like a plunging neckline.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, he thought too much for, you know, for a new show. And I said, well, I didn't bring anything else, so I have to wear this. And so, you know, I just went on with it. But I mean, that show even looks good today because, of course, that wardrobe caught up with, you know, the styles now.
Right.
But it was great. It was just a long black dress with a nice neckline, and I'd wear it today.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays they probably say, you know, why are you wearing so much? I mean,
right, exactly, right? It's like the dress is a little too long. I cut it to the knee and
yeah.
Above the knee, right? Right? So yeah, lots of great stories.
This is John O'Hurley. You remember me as Jay Peterman, and I'm on Screen and Beyond.
So you actually had not just singing experience, but you were on TV on different things, too. You weren't just on Jim Nabors, correct?
Sure. Well, this now we're getting post Honeycomb,
mm-hmm.
Which is when I starred in a show called Hot City. By then, I had met Verdeen White. We had started working together, not even dating, just working together musically. And an opportunity came up where they were looking for a girl who could sing and dance to star on a weekly show, sort of like Solid Gold.
Yeah.
But it was called Hot City, and so. It was great. I signed on to that for two seasons as well. And Verdeen was the music producer. So we sort of came in as a package. And the outstanding Allie Willis, who did the lyrics for September in Boogie Wonderland, we used her first before all that. So Allie did all my songs on Hot City with Verdeen. And and that show was great, too. You know, I was like an alien from outer space.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at your credits here, so I can't say that I know of this, but I'm just finding interesting facts here. Mm-hmm. In 1959, you were in I don't know if it's a TV show or a film called The Green Pastures. You were an angel.
Oh,
is that correct?
Oh, well, yeah, in 59, because I was a child star. And so, you know, my career started as a 7-year-old. And so my brother was... also, you know, my parents saw a very lucrative opportunity with both of us. We could sing and dance, and my father would train us to do acrobats and this, that, the other. And so anything that came up in New York where that called for a child actor, child singer, child dancer, we got it hands down, over and above any other kids that may have auditioned. So that's how we got the role in House of Flowers on Broadway, 7 months with Pearl Bailey. And the story goes where my brother and I auditioned against like maybe 400 dance teams, kids. And the producers came to my father and he said, well, we like your kids the best, but this role calls for two boys. Because the House of Flowers was a house of ill repute in the West Indies. Mm-hmm. And so the two little boys took care of the women of the night. I mean, it was a beautiful musical and a big hit by Truman Capote. It ran, you know, every night for 7 months. And so my father said, you want two boys? Okay, fine. So he takes me in the bathroom with scissors and cuts all my hair off to where I look like my brother. And it was down to my waist. I was traumatized. And he said, shut up. It'll grow back. And then he marches me back to the producers and he goes, you want two boys? Boom. You got them. And the producer said, you're hired.
Wow. Wow. That's
how's that for a story?
Yeah.
A backstory.
Wow. Jeez.
And that starred Diane Carroll. She was 18. It was her first role. It was Alvin Ailey, the wonderful dancer, and his dance troupe. It was what's his name? Geoffrey Holder. You know him from the 7-Up commercials and the James Bond movies.
Oh, yes, yes. Live and Let Die.
And, right? And there were so many, I just want to say, cast of characters in that play that went on to do great things.
Yeah.
So.
How was it working with Pearl Bailey? I mean, Pearl Bailey was such an incredible actress.
Right. And she, I want to say, was very kind to me and my brother, and she was just wonderful on stage. And you learned so much just watching her because she was on, kind of like Tina, in a different way every single night. And as opposed to when I toured 7 months with Cab Calloway, he wasn't so friendly to me because he wanted his daughter to have the role so that he could spend time with her on the road. So I toured 7 months with him, and he was angry. And every single night it was, you know, growling and snarling at me and one thing after the next. And plus, you know, I was giving him a run for his money on stage too. So he didn't like that part.
But you're 9 years old. Why would he?
I know.
That's horrible. That's, you know, to treat a 9-year old that way. It's not your fault. They hired you.
That I was good.
Yeah. I mean,
so, this industry, you know, Verdine calls it the Wild Wild West. A lot of times you just can't control and you have to play damage control as you go. And my father came out on the road and saw what was happening, that he was sometimes trying to trip me on stage, maybe to make me fall. And my father said, okay, you know, if we're dealing with this kind of stuff from an adult, then you've just got to turn it into a routine. You know, if you see something coming toward you, then you spin away and go that way. I'm telling you, you just sort of have to, you know, you have to improvise, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
and get the job done. Just get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now in your career, with Honeycomb, of course, before, after, I mean, you've done so many things, but you were one of the featured singers on MacArthur Park.
Oh yes. Yes. I got a call from, Jimmy Webb. And it's so funny you should bring that up because I posted that song today on my Instagram,
which
is Official Honeycomb. If people want to follow us, Official Honeycomb Instagram. And on Facebook, it's called A Legendary Honeycomb on Facebook. But MacArthur's Park, originally it was done with the actor. Okay, his name is escaping me for right now, but
Richard,
you know
Harris.
Who I mean?
Yep,
Richard Harris, there it is. And they needed a girl to come in and sing and also be able to hit a high C at the very end. And so my name was in the industry by then, so I didn't really audition. I just went in and did, you know, what I was supposed to do and hit the high C, and everybody was happy, and I got a bunch of money, and that was that.
Now, were there
it was a great song, great song.
Oh, yeah. Were there any other songs? In fact, Jimmy Webb was a guest here a few years back on here. I had mm-hmm. him on. But over the years, have you been, you know, on other songs, other hit records and things like that that we might know of?
My memory escapes me right now for, you know, actually being on other songs. Some of the Honeycone were on lots of songs with various people.
Yeah. Wow.
I lost my train of thought. But I was very fortunate to be able to also tour with Little Richard, and he was a handful. But I loved, right? You know, surely they hate me because I'm so beautiful. Shut up. But I enjoyed that too. I wasn't a singer. I was the lead dancer that opened the show for him. Oh. And then he came out and then he sang.
He must have been wild. He seems to be wild. Or was he one of these people who, when they're out on the stage, they're all out there, and then all of a sudden they're an introvert when they get off stage?
He was an introvert. I mean, an extrovert all the time.
All the time. Okay.
A little bit calmer. A little bit calmer off stage, but just he had a sense of humor that would rock you.
Really?
He would rock you. Yes. It was insane. He has personality that is, he's hilarious. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh man.
Well, Shelley, it's so fascinating to hear all the things that you've been doing that I didn't know, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't know the things you've done, you know, besides, of course, Honeycone and you know, the want ads and
thank you. You
know, Stick Up and everything. It's great to hear that you're back out there. I'd like to finish up with one final question. Maybe two. Before we do that, you say people can find out where you're going to be in 2024 by going to your website?
Yes, honeycone.biz.
Okay. And how about on your socials? Can they catch you on that too?
Oh, yeah. That's Legendary Honeycone on Facebook and Official Honeycone on Instagram. And I think we have a Twitter too. And that might be Official Honeycone also.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Well, the final question is, and I'm going to add another one I always ask the same final question to everybody, but I want to throw in another one. So first off, as far as music, what kind of music do you enjoy? What are your favorite songs?
What do I like? You know what? I actually like a lot of, believe it or not, gospel. And I think that's where a lot of the roots, you know, from the original chords and harmonies came from, and the exciting music. But I also like a little bit of everything. Now, my husband just listens to classical in the house. That's all he plays here. Wow. And so some of that I enjoy, too, as I study classical music on a scholarship at USC. So, you know, my roots are like all over the place. I love musical comedies, Call the Wind Mariah. I'm like all over the place. So I can't really say it's just one genre. Even some hip hop, because they've sampled all of our stuff anyway.
Right.
Right. Right. I mean, Common sampled Honeycone. Mary Mary, the gospel group, sampled Honeycone.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, and how many people sampled Earth, Wind, and Fire? I mean, that's almost everybody.
Right.
So yeah, I guess I love all types of music, and it just depends on, I wasn't really into Earth, Wind, and Fire in the very beginning. I learned to appreciate it as time went on.
Yeah. Now, what about when you sit back and relax? What do you enjoy watching on TV? What's your favorite TV shows now and of the past? And what's your favorite movies now and of the past?
Okay. So What I like is action. You know, all the Indiana Jones. I love all the James. Matter of fact, this week they're having a James Bond marathon out here. I keep it on that channel all day. Mm-hmm. Espionage. Yeah. So and I mean some musicals, but not really. When I'm relaxing, I'm like just into just action packed stuff. That's me. And my husband, he keeps it on PBS. He just likes, you know, regular old, you know, maybe vintage performances. Mm-hmm. from everybody across the board. So me, you know, I find it a little boring, but but you know, I can dig it if that's what you like. So me, if you got me with anything action or anything a spy movie.
Yeah. What about the TV? Any suggestions? Because I always like to get suggestions that, you know, you're enjoying that people might, you know, if they are not watching it, that maybe they'd say, oh, okay, well, I'll check. Shelley says that's good. I'll check it out. Any of those?
For TV, I'm like just old school stuff. I like 77 Sunset Strip. I like Paladin. Mm-hmm. I like all that stuff that came out. It had to be 60s,
right?
Because most of it is black and white. So I watch a lot of that, and I don't know. And I like comedies. If you got me with something that's, you know, that's really funny, like all the Naked Gun movies, you know, with what's his name? Nielsen. What's his name?
Yeah. You know, Leslie Nielsen. Yes.
Leslie Nielsen. I watch those all day and night. I hope they do some more, but, that's the kind of stuff I like anyway,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Might be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, I cannot thank you enough, and I you know, encourage people to check out your website and your socials to find out where you're going to be appearing next, and the best of luck with more Honeycone coming our way.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate you having me and getting the word out that we're still here and eager to entertain you.
And a big thank you going out to Shelley Clark for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. She, of course, like I said, was with the group Honeycone, and she still is. She's out touring, and keep your eye out. Go to her socials and her website to find out where she will be, when she will be, and all that stuff as 2024 comes our way. So it's going to be something to look out for as she comes out singing once again. And like I said, we want to thank her so much for joining us. Well, we have had a great year. We have more shows coming this year. We have a musical act once again coming our way that had monster hits, a lot of big stuff, sang theme songs to TV shows. And if all goes well, we're going to not just have one person from the group. We're going to have three people from the group at the same time. So it's always madness when we have more than one guest at the same time, but it's always a lot of fun. So next week, be sure to join us because we're going to have a great time with this guest or guests, I should say, as they come our way here on Screen and Beyond. And if you have a suggestion, I always enjoy hearing from you. You can send it to me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. And I'd love to hear what you think we should have, who we should have here at On Screen and Beyond, whether it's from the music or TV or movie world. We just, you know, enjoy having all these people here to share their stories. And I hope you're enjoying those. And I hope you'll tell a friend to keep things moving here at On Screen and Beyond. So check that out if you want, and let me know what you think. We'll see what we can do. And that's it. That is it for another episode of On Screen and Beyond. And so until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.